These are three really life-changing commitments, if you think about it, to be part of God's kingdom in and through Mount Joy. But how do we get traction on that? How do we actually know if we're going forward or moving forward on it? So we're going to talk about six different practices, spiritual practices, and starting with today. And each one of those practices, there's like couplets of two that connect with those three commitments. And today we're talking about enjoying God in the quiet, that practice of daily quiet time with God, how that can escape us so readily. But if we do that, then when we come together and enjoy God together, then we can worship together. Next week we'll be talking about that. What does it look like to worship together as a family of God so that we're impacting the world around us with the kingdom? And then on the 8th of September, we're going to talk about loving each other by connecting, and that connecting happens better in circles than it does in rows. Rows are somewhat good for connecting, but they happen so much better when you're in a circle, in a small group, connecting with people in that way. And then on the 15th, loving each other by serving. Talk about that practice of serving and spiritual gifts, where we can discover, develop, and deploy our spiritual gifts in our church family, kind of what that looks like. Then blessing our neighbors by giving, and the practice there is that generosity through giving. When we give to our church family, it not only blesses our family, but the community beyond us, okay? And then the last week on the 29th of September, we're going to talk about blessing our neighbors by going, this practice of going out to bless both our neighbors and the nations around us. So during this whole series, you're going to be given the ability to grab one of these commitment cards, and the commitment cards are up here right by this cross. It's right up here in the front. You might want to make your way up there this morning after the service and pick one of those up and just take a look at that, be praying over that. And if any time during this series you feel like God impressions on you, yes, you're part of this family, you're making those commitments, and you want to do that, just sign your name on there and tack that up to the cross. I think it'll be a real encouragement to your church family here at Mount Joy and to your new pastor who will be coming to see that so many people are committed to becoming somebody who is a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, some people say, hey, I'm not going to make that commitment until I'm totally there. Well, you don't make a commitment once you get there, right? You're not married for 30, 40 years and live in a marriage relationship and then after 40 years have the ceremony, right?
Right.
You have the ceremony, and at the ceremony, you commit to becoming something you're not yet, right? A really good spouse under the leadership of God. So it'll be good to take some time and think about, I'm committed to that, and by faith, I'm going to commit to that and commit to these practices, and I'm all in with my church family. So you can do that beginning today and anytime throughout this series. Grab one of those cards, fill it out, encourage. You can grab one and post one. You can take one home with you to remind you of those commitments, and I think that'll be really helpful. So I want to talk today about this whole idea of meeting Jesus or enjoying God in the quiet. And on one occasion of peak demand, life was moving so fast that the disciples didn't even have time to eat lunch. I want to ask you, have you ever had a day like that? Life was moving so fast that you didn't get to eat your lunch, your life ate your lunch.
Yeah.
Right? Long, long time ago, centuries ago, when I was between my freshman and sophomore years in college, I worked at a place called Standard Steel in Burnham, Pennsylvania, up near Lewistown. I got a summer job there. And it was great because even back then, it was in the early 80s, I was making like $14, $15 an hour being a day laborer there, and it was awesome. I could actually make enough money working there in the summer to pay my tuition for the whole year. Can you believe that? That would never happen these days, right? To make enough money at your summer job to pay for your tuition for the whole year. But I could do that, and so I worked hard at it, and I took all the shifts I could, and I worked double shifts. I did whatever. And most of what I did was I was just a laborer, and so I was shoveling what's called borings out of steel mills, where they were milling railroad wheels for cars, railroad cars and things like that, making rings or whatever. And what would happen was these guys that were running, the machinists that were running it, they would make extra money on how many pieces they could put out. It was called piecework. So they didn't want to shut down the mill to let me clean it out. So they would just kind of slow it down, and you'd have to pull up the shields, and you'd be in there shoveling those borings out. But usually when they were doing that, what? You didn't get to eat your lunch. You missed lunch. You didn't get to eat till you got home. You're exhausted. You got home. My mom would send me to the shower, exile me to the shower. She'd say, take off your clothes in the back porch because they're all sooty, and leave them out there and just go take a shower and then eat. And you'd eat, and by that time you're exhausted, you slept, and you got up the next day and you just did it again. But there were so many days that I just didn't get lunch. That's what happened with Jesus. It says in Mark 6:31, then because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So Jesus gives us some insight about how to be refueled every day, about how to enjoy God every day. So we don't want to just enjoy God when we come together, but we want to enjoy God when we separate and go out. So how do we enjoy God in his presence in our life in a demanding, distracting, disjointed seasons of life? Well, three things Jesus tells us to do here. Enjoy God in the quiet. First, enjoy God in the quiet. Join Jesus. Join Jesus in a quiet place and get some rest. He says, come with me by yourselves. At the very height of ministry, at the height of all this activity, Jesus kind of looks over to the sidelines. He looks at the official in the game, and he does this with his hands. Time out. Everything's happening. Good things are going. And Jesus is like, no, it's time for a time out. Notice his words to them. Come with me. Let's just say those together. Come with me. Jesus is speaking to us today. Let's say it one more time. Come with me. If you take anything out of today, take those three words. Jesus calling you to come with him into a quiet spot and to get some rest. Rest is important, okay? It's equally as important as our activity. So how do we get into the presence of Jesus and rest with him? I think that one of the most... It's actually been researched, and there was a study done back in 2011 of over 1,000 U.S. churches on spiritual growth, on how people grew. And they did a survey of these 1,000 churches and the people in them. So there was over 100,000 people involved in the study, and it was called the MOVE Study. It was done in 2011. And what do you think the number one catalyst for spiritual growth was with those people when they were talked to and they filled all that out? The number one catalyst for spiritual growth was reading and reflecting on the scriptures. Number one catalyst that people reported that helped them grow the most was when they read and they reflected on God's word to them. God's word to them. When I first made a commitment to become a follower of Jesus, one of the disciples, I reread and read the Gospels over and over and over again. I was kind of compelled just to be drawn in there. I felt Jesus come alive to me. I felt Jesus speaking to me. I put my place in the place of one of those early disciples, and I just felt like I was being transformed by his presence in my life because I was reading and reflecting on the scriptures. I didn't know that that was the number one way to grow. I just started doing it. And I started getting into it, and I felt like Jesus was talking to me. And over the years, I kind of developed a pattern that works for me, that helps me, that just has four words to it: read, reflect, record, and return. So often in the morning, I'll get up. I'm usually the first one up, and I make some coffee because coffee helps me closer to Jesus. Some of you, tea helps you get closer to Jesus. Some of you, a monster drink helps you get closer to Jesus. Whatever helps you get closer to Jesus in the morning, get up and have that and make that. And then I'll just read some of the scriptures. I'll read a passage of scripture. And then after I'm done reading, I'll just kind of reflect on it. What's God saying to me through it? What are some questions I have about it? Kind of like that pray thing we do where we pause and we read and we reflect, you know? And then I record. I just have a little notebook. It's not anything fancy. It's usually a steno pad. You know what a steno pad is? They're cheap and you can have lots of them around. So if you lose one, you didn't lose much. And I just write down some thoughts and ideas or questions that I have. I usually don't write them out longhand. I know some people do that. I just write some of those down. And then I pray, and I kind of put that down, and I'll pray for my day, and I'll pray for people in my day, I'll pray for myself, I'll pray for what I read. But then what I do later in the day, before I put my head on my pillow, is I get that pad back out, and I'll look at it again, and I'll just ask two questions of myself. Where did I feel God's presence in my life today? What was going on? And where did I not feel it? Where did I want God to be there? And he was there, of course, right? But I just didn't sense it. And then the third question I ask is, what was God saying or doing in both? When I sensed his presence and when I didn't, he was still there and he was still working. And it just kind of helps me check in. It's just a simple pattern to read, reflect, record, and return. And I would encourage you to do that. I'd encourage you to pick a gospel this next month, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And a couple weeks ago, Jen Yoder told us about, she was reading what, the book of Mark? John? She was reading John. And she was going through that, and she was kind of sharing what she was learning from doing it. It can refresh you, and it can get you back into the presence of Jesus. And I think the best way for us to get away with Jesus is to read his words to us. And read his word to us as though because we are his disciples, his followers. Just take the time to do that. So I hope that you'll do that. I hope that you'll engage in these other six practices as we go along. But I just want you to take some time to do that. In his book, Habits of Grace, a guy named David Mathis helps us see the value of developing spiritual habits that help us tune in our heart, soul, mind, and strength into Jesus in a quiet place. He says this in his book, knowing and enjoying Jesus is the final end of hearing his voice. Hear that? Knowing and enjoying Jesus is the final end of hearing his voice, having his ear, and belonging to his body. We need to get into the presence of Jesus to hear his voice, to have his ear and pray to him, and then to know that we belong to his family. I want you to consider this question. I want us to consider this today. Can you guys pull that next question up? Sorry about that. There you go. Jesus is calling you into a quiet place with him. What needs to change in your daily life so you can meet him here? Jesus is calling all of us into that quiet place to meet. What needs to change? Is it a pattern that needs to change? Is it what you're doing that needs to change? Is it just making a little bit more time in the morning or the evening or midday to change? When will you jumpstart that? When will you get going on that? This question, the question is, what needs to change so you can be enjoying Jesus every day? Because if we're enjoying Jesus in practice separately, then when we enjoy Jesus coming together in worship, we have more to contribute to worship. Because we're meeting with Jesus, we're filled up with him. When we come into his presence together, it doesn't seem so odd, right? Because we've been worshiping him together in the quiet. One of the things that a friend of mine used to do is his workplace was so distracting that he would start to eat his lunch. He would take about 15 minutes for lunch. He had a half hour for lunch. He would take that second 15 minutes. He had time, and he would just walk out to his car, sit in his car, read the scriptures, pray a little bit, maybe listen to a song, and then go back indoor. So there is no right pattern, okay? I gave you my pattern of reading, reflecting, recording, and returning to that, and I would encourage you to do something similar to that. But find a pattern. What needs to be jump-started in your life? Maybe what needs to be a little bit different? What kind of new exercise do you need to do in your life spiritually so that you're having spiritual muscle confusion and you're having some growth this fall as you enter into Jesus' presence on your own in the quiet? Enjoying God in the quiet. Number two is we follow Jesus And we join Jesus in a quiet place, in a quiet spot. Where they were was not a quiet spot. Jesus uses this term, and even in the Greek part, the Greek in the New Testament, it can also mean into a desolate place, not just a quiet place. It could be a desolate place, a place. The idea is a desolate place was a place where nobody else is.
That's right.
A place that gets you away from the distractions of life. Sometimes for me, being in some place where I'm around everything else that I got to do distracts me, right? I start reading the Word of God, and all of a sudden I'm looking over here, making a list of things I need to accomplish today. Because I see that's broken, that needs to be taken care of, that needs to be painted, that needs to be done. So I need to get someplace, and we need to get someplace where we're not distracted by what? The crowds and the cares of life all around us. To get into that quiet place with God. That quiet place on the outside and a quiet place on the inside. So Jesus is attempting to get his disciples away to the quiet place, to get them away from all these demands, all these distractions. But look what happens. Look what happens. The crowds, like the demands of life, chase them down and clamor for their attention. Did you see that? Mark 6:33 says this, "But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them." Can you imagine them? Jesus says, "Hey, come with me. We're going to get to this quiet spot. We're going to get some rest." Oh, they're like, they're panting, and they get there. Voila! There's the crowd again, right on the shore for them. It's kind of like our life, isn't it? Do you ever sit down, try to spend a couple minutes with Jesus, and you've got your journal out and your Bible out, and you're good to go, and you're ready to go, and all of a sudden the crowd shows up right here again, doesn't it? The demands of life, the lists of life, the things you have to do, the cares of life, they keep running around, just showing up on your doorstep, physically, but also mentally and in your soul, all right? So Jesus knows it's going to happen to us. The problem with the demands of life is they keep chasing us down, and they show up in our quiet spot. They show up in our quiet spot, not just on the outside, but on the inside. So the secret to developing these habits that refuel us is to locate and nurture not just exterior spaces, but interior spaces where we can get quiet before God. I'm going to share in a little bit of an exterior space that I've kind of developed that helps me get quiet before God. And it's one that I can kind of take along with me. I'll share that in a couple of minutes. So it is good to have those places where you set them up. Like I have a couple of contemplative spots in my home. Because sometimes I get distracted in my contemplative spot in my office upstairs. It's really nice until our cat comes in there. That cat sometimes is demonized. The other night, the cat was demonized. We had a four-hour Zoom call that I was on, and that cat was outside that door meowing for 4 hours. That was on Monday. On Friday, I had a one-hour Zoom call. I opened the door, and the cat never came in. Right? She's a cat. She gets to choose, right? And she's full of demons. I'm joking, of course. But she's distracting. So sometimes when she's in my quiet spot, I can't concentrate because she's in there wanting to be petted or wants food or wants some water or wants some attention or whatever. And so I have to go to another quiet spot. So what I'm saying to you is this. Set up some quiet spots around your home and in your yard where if there's a distraction in one of them, you can peel away to another one.
That's right.
Get to that place physically where you can be like, oh, got my Bible, got my journal, got my stuff. I can do it. I can do it. I can get into this quiet spot with Jesus and get refueled with him. A number of years ago, there was a well-known professor. He was also a pastor and an author. His name was Dallas Willard, and he's written a lot about spiritual growth, about spiritual practices. And he was mentoring a young pastor, and the pastor was in a growing church, and things were happening and burgeoning. And so he's mentoring this young pastor, and the pastor said, came to him and said, "How can I build a strong spiritual life?" And this is what he said to that pastor. He said this: "Hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life."
That's good.
And the pastor said, "Wait, what else is there?" And he said, "There is nothing else." Go work on that. Eliminate hurry and a hurried soul, and you will be able to grow spiritually and do the work that God's called you to do. Hurry is the great enemy of our spiritual life in our day. Being hurried, being rushed. So I want to ask you today, what's keeping you from the quiet? What's keeping you from the quiet? Is it external hurry? Or is it internal hurry? Or is it some combination of both? I mean, external hurry is that we just got stuff we got to get done, right? I mean, it would be nice just to tell people, "No, I'm just spending days with Jesus. I'm not doing my job, but I'd really like you to pay me for it. I'd like you not to be irritated with me because I didn't do what I was supposed to do for our family or our community or whatever, because, you know, I was just off being a monk or a nun, and I was off with Jesus all the time." It would be nice if we could do that, but there are external things that we have to get done, and those lists and those jobs and those things and those activities can be very rich for us, but they also can at times push us away from God and from Jesus and enjoying God together. Or is it more like internal hurry? Internal hurry. I would say at times that I suffer more from internal hurry. Now, there's a connection with the external, right? Because I got the list. I got things I didn't get done. We just bought a used teardrop camper. Anybody know what a teardrop camper is? It makes you cry 24/7. So we decided to buy this thing. It was used. So it's got a couple things that need to be fixed on it, right? And a teardrop camper is basically a bed that you're towing behind your car. That's what it is. It's a bed in there. And then the back of it opens up, and the back has a place to cook and stuff on. So it's got a little kitchen on the back, and it's got a bed in the front, and you tow it around, and you go camping. You pretend you're camping in it, okay? So we had it for like 3 or 4 days, and we, of course, had to take it out. We didn't know how to back it up yet properly. We tested that a little bit in our driveway enough that we could get it to Caledonia State Park and spend like 45 minutes to an hour trying to park it in the space while everyone else is trying to park their camper. I wasn't real popular that day. I finally got it into the spot and got it back home, but I found that, you know, all of those exterior cares were not helping me. Then once I got the campsite set up, I'm just sitting there thinking, everyone's looking at me. I'm the idiot who didn't know how to back up the smallest camper here. So the external is driving the internal, right? And I'm sitting at the fire, and I can't slow down. I'm thinking, that hitch needs to be replaced. When I put that thing down, that pin won't go in it right. I'm making a mental note of all the things I need to fix on this little camper, so I'm not even sitting and enjoying the camping time. Ever happened to anybody else?
Yeah.
Where the external and the internal hurry gets all connected together. Not long ago, I was on a flight to California, and I was flying with Delta. They love to fly, and it shows, by the way. And so they give you this little packet, and it says quiet. On the inside of the quiet packet, there are two little foam things that you can curl up, earplugs, and stick them in your ear. Here's how I knew that I was hurried on the inside more than the outside. I sat down, got everything done, worked on my presentation for about 15 or 20 minutes, refined my PowerPoint, closed my thing up, put my stuff back in my bag, and flying off into the, I don't know, Delta's not the friendliest guys. But anyhow, I'm flying off, and I decide to put them in, and I put them in my ears, thinking I'm going to be able to be quiet and go to sleep, and all I could hear was a list of stuff I needed to get done. If you want to test whether your hurry is coming from the outside or the inside, get a set of these, roll them up, get quiet, put them in your ears, and if all you can do is keep replaying all that you're responsible for, you've got a hurry problem on the inside, and you're going to have to practice not being hurried. It takes practice to not be hurried on the inside and take that time, that pattern time each day where you're stopping, you're reading, you're reflecting, recording, and then you're returning to it later in the day. Get that pattern going in your day. One of my favorite preachers is Charles Swindoll. He wrote a great little book called Intimacy with the Almighty. In the book, he outlines four spiritual habits: simplicity, silence, solitude, and surrender, he talks about. In the short volume, he reminds us of the power of stealing away with Jesus into quiet spaces. When he says this, he says, solitude is an oasis of the soul where we see ourselves and others, and especially our God, in new ways. Soul surgery transpires as serenity replaces anxiety. Listen to that last line. Soul surgery transpires as serenity replaces anxiety. Let's read that together. Soul surgery transpires as serenity replaces anxiety. It takes practice to get into Jesus' presence and to slow down and just let him refresh you. So the third point is this: enjoy God in the quiet. Let him refresh you. So Jesus says, come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So what does it look like to be refreshed by Jesus? What does it look like to be refreshed by him? There's four movements to the biblical Sabbath, or to the Jewish Sabbath, and they are stop, rest, delight, and reflect. Stopping, resting, delighting in God, noticing what's going on around you in the world, what God has provided, and then just reflecting on what God has been doing in your life during that those other 6 days of the week. And so that is what I think refreshment looks like when we get into God's hammock. We talked about that this summer. That whole idea of not just every seventh day, but we can get small Sabbaths in, right? We can get Sabbath times in each day where we stop, we rest, we delight, and we reflect. We need to be more intentional, I think. I think we need to be just as intentional about our inactivity as our activity. Here's what I mean. I'm very intentional about my activity. I have lists. I have an app on my phone where I can put all of my stuff, and I do. And then I have another one where I write it down. I'm so compulsive and afraid I'm going to forget to do stuff that I have to keep tracking it and tracking it and tracking it, you know? It's that ADHD thing I have. But I think in order to slow down, we need to be just as intentional and plan our times of inactivity. What am I going to do in my inactivity? Because I notice if I don't, I can just binge watch, you know, some series on and on and on. The next one, and, you know, it just keeps coming up. The next episode will start in 30 seconds. So you just sit there. Okay, I'll watch the next one. And we get caught up in that. Whereas if I'm intentionally saying, no, this is my quiet space to get away and be with God, I'm going to limit other inactivities. Not that there's anything wrong with watching TV or watching a show or taking things in. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we can get caught up in other inactivity that is not with Jesus. It's not a quiet space, and we're not very rested when we come out of it. Amen? Yeah. And we need to do that. So I want to ask you this question. What intentional steps do you need to take to enter into refreshing places with Jesus? What intentional steps do you need to take? Just the other day, I was waiting for an email to show up in my inbox, and it wasn't showing up, and I was waiting for it to show up because I needed the link to get online, to get on the Zoom call. And so what was I doing? I kept clicking that refresh button, right? Refresh, 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 refresh. I kept clicking it, click it again, click it again, click it again, click it again. And then finally the link came up and it was fine. I got on, I was on time and I was able to be in the meeting and all that kind of thing. But I just kept clicking refresh. Wouldn't it be nice if when we felt exhausted spiritually, you know, socially, mentally, and in our soul, if we could just click refresh? Oh, I feel so much better now. Thank you, Jesus, for that refreshing time. And communion comes up on the screen and somebody delivers it. You know, the cat brings communion in instead of, you know, being filled with demons from hell. She's now filled with angelic beings that are helping her minister to you. So what are you going to do to be more intentional? I'm going to ask Josh to bring up my beach chair up here. This is something that I keep in my trunk, and I did this a couple years ago. I put this beach chair in my trunk of my car, and every once in a while when I'm driving someplace, the other day I was driving, and I just saw a little park there. So what I do is when I feel like, oh, I'm really kind of getting wired and I'm not taking enough time with Jesus, what I'll do is I have this in the trunk of my car so I can pull off to a little park. I can just take a couple of minutes, right? Pull this out of my trunk. And it's getting a little bit harder to get into this chair because it's so low to the ground. It's a low rider. But I can still get in it. I can't always get out of it. But I can get in the chair, right? And I've got my Bible in the back seat, my journal in the back seat. I can just stop for a moment. Rest. Read the Word of God. Reflect on it. Take in what's around me. This is my Father's world, right? And then say, okay, it's time to get back on the road again. Got places to go, things to do, people to see. And I get out of my chair. Oh, I did it, yeah. You can get a nicer chair than that. Maybe a camp chair would be better. It's a little higher, right? Maybe I should exchange it now. But I keep it in there, so it reminds me to do that. When I pop my trunk and go to put my groceries in, I'm like, oh, maybe I need to spend a couple of moments when I get home. So sometimes I'll get home, and I'll take it out of my trunk, and I'll walk down by the creek in our backyard, and I'll just plop down 5-10 minutes. Maybe bring one of my dogs out with me. My dogs are not demonized. The cat is demonized. The dogs are not. They bring me closer to Jesus. What are you going to do? Maybe it's something creative. Maybe it's something that just trips the trigger in your mind. Maybe it's a sticky note on your dashboard that reminds you, slow down, get with Jesus, pull off the road, stop at the next rest stop. We need to do those things. I mean, even Jesus, he models this for us. It is so, life is so clamoring for his attention that he and disciples don't have time to eat their lunch. And once they do get a place where they could eat their lunch, the crowd shows up again. Jesus knows that life is demanding. He wants us to enjoy God by joining Jesus in a quiet place and allowing him to refresh you. I encourage you, as you look at this commitment card, to pick one of those up today. Just wander up here, pick one up before coffee time, take it out with you, look at it, and just think, hey, what do I need to do beginning this week or even beginning today to get away with Jesus to a quiet place and get some rest? How can I enjoy him every day? And make a commitment to do that for the next 6 weeks to begin to do that. I want to just pray this prayer together as we get ready to close out our time here this morning. It's a prayer that I wrote for our All In series. And I want us just to start at the beginning with Lord Jesus and pray the prayer together. And then I'll pray for us. Lord Jesus, empower us to be all in as a church family. During the season of new beginnings, help us to live together by reaching up, enjoying you, by reaching in, loving each other, and by reaching out, blessing our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, I pray that you will help us, help me, help my brothers and sisters here at Mount Joy, those that are watching today, just to be able to take that time with you, to hear your voice, to steal away with you each day and get the rest that we need for our souls as we get into your word and we get into prayer and some of these other practices. Just, Lord, refresh us and renew us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Joel, for those words. I'm reminded that oftentimes in our life, I think hurry gets in the way of that proximity.